You're listening to a Lost in the Groove segment. Having good vibes with your bones and joints. Taking a trip into the groove. American groove. American groove. Into stone world. Gonna pop. Like gold Mario? Because then I think there's like the gold and silver Mario.
There's like if you get a gold in every single level, you get like a golden Mario Kart. Have you seen this? It's like
I think I have a silver Mario. Like I don't generally like to play with those type of characters, but they're so cool.
Especially it's not like Metal Mario or anything like that. Like it's like
Chromio
is what I call. Yeah, it's
Where Art Thou?
Metal Mario. Yeah. Well, there's a band called Chromio, and they make a few different songs. And so whenever I see the Metal Mario, I always think like, oh, it's Chromio.
Chromio, where art thou? Oh my god, it's so funny because like I barely play video games to begin with, you know. And when I do, and I'm like, especially playing Mario Kart, I understand there's like a plethora of characters. There's only one that I ever play, and it's Yoshi. That's it.
I don't play
any other character.
Well, you're
never.
A big Yoshi fan.
I love Yoshi.
Some people really, really love Toad. My sister was always Wario. Yeah.
Wario.
Yeah, she'd be that for a while. I'm always the Princess Peach. Just I started.
Princess Daisy?
No, Princess.
You don't like
Peach.
Princess Daisy?
No, this is just an off-brand. She's not original, like. Princess Peach.
Damn.
But Daisy came like pretty early. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, she's like in the beginning, but like
I believe it was the early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty early, but like I don't know. I like Princess Peach. I like the pink and the blonde, and she's my jam. I smoked those joints from Sunburn. They were fucking bomb. I'm gonna try not to
Florida
say too much
weed.
About that. Yeah,
Florida grown weed, honey. It's the best kind of shit out here.
It was really good. I was like giggly. I was really, really relaxed. I did that Saturday night.
I'm smoking, by the way, a joint while I'm dealing with allergies. Really great combination.
My boyfriend has a fireplace, like a real one, and
damn.
We just get these
like bricks and shit.
Yeah, bricks and shit. We just get these, like, little, like, starter logs, like, cheater logs. You just, like, light the end of both of them, and then it, like, you have, like, a fire for, like, 4 hours or something like that. So that's honestly just been, like, the highlight of being 35 is hanging around, like, a fireplace. Like, I'm like, this is nice.
You know, if you get, like, Norwegian wood playing in the background, you know?
Honestly, I was like, it feels like the 70s. Like, this is really, you know, just like put on some Barry White, too. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Honey.
Can't get enough of your love, baby.
Okay, girl, you're just asking for like pure, raw, like romantic devotion right there on the floor, like right in front of the fireplace, you know?
Romantic devotion.
Meaning the carpets will be moving, the couch cushions will be a little slumped.
I don't
and
have
clothes
like,
will be everywhere,
like a big bearskin rug.
Yeah,
I feel like you kind of gotta like if you were going to take all your clothes off and they were just gonna fall on the ground, you know, just like you're just gonna take them off, they were all gonna fall on the ground all in one place. Like, just kind of make it a little bit more exciting. Like, throw the shirt over there.
I just think
throw
of
the socks over there.
I just think of Rose, you know? And Jack, you know, in that scene of Titanic. It's like Jack. I'd like you to paint me like one of those girls, you know. And then like when she gets all like seductive and like takes off the robe, you know, how she with her pinkies, you know, like opening up, you know, the belt and like just take. I'm like,
I don't know. I don't
Dear
like it.
God. It's just, it's too much.
It's just, it's, I like Titanic, like, don't get me wrong, but something about the movie. Two of them is, like, really cringy to me now. And, like, it was cute when I was a kid and they were both older than me, but now it's, like, I don't know, it kind of bothers me. Like, I can't, like, get lost in it. Maybe just because of what Leonardo DiCaprio was, like, turned into. And what if they had casted that entire movie with Johnny Depp? I would be very caught off guard, too. But I think he could have pulled it off, honestly.
The thing about Titanic, what I take off is not the story of, like, Rose and Jack. Because, to be honest, like, I understand it's not a true story, but their story doesn't really make any sense. And if you know anything about history, more than likely, he would have never met Rose. Like, you have to understand, like, in 1912, third-class passengers had absolutely no access to first class passengers. It just wasn't a thing. Like, the weirdest thing you'd see on a cruise ship at that time frame would be second class passengers chilling with first class passengers. Which kind of makes more sense because their decks are kind of near each other, you know, and their like meeting halls and stuff kind of crisscross with one another. I like it because, you know, you get to see a perspective of, like, what the Titanic was, you know, through a filmmaker's eyes. And I hate to be that burden of bad news, but, like, then you get that shitty story of, like, Rose and Jack, like, shoved in there. I don't know, just like...
I don't know. James Cameron, right? Whatever he thinks.
He's great at making worlds. But the second he gets into those, like, storylines, it's okay. Avatar storyline is okay.
I think that me not really being whisked away by the Rose and Jack story anymore, the way that I was whisked away as, like, a kid, I think it's because of how much I've grown up and that the Jack character isn't really attractive anymore. Like, after, like, I've grown up, like, it's like just like who he is. Like, it's like, I guess it's kind of fascinating, but there's something so temporary about him. So flighty. So just like, and it's like, yeah, I know he's nicer than like the mean guy, but is he really that great? Like, he's kind of exciting and he's like new and he's, you know, but he's still not like, you know, the one that she should marry. Like, he's still not like the one. Like, he's honestly just a fling. Like, he's not her forever guy.
Think about it, at the very beginning of the movie when she talks about Jack and how he got onto the Titanic, he was gambling with people. He was playing poker, and he won 2 tickets to the Titanic. So, like, to your point, he's definitely the type of character that's, like, he goes from one place to another. He's not, he has no stable structure.
Which is, like, really exciting when you're younger. It's like you want to experience things, you know? And I guess that's what she wanted, too. She wanted to experience things because she was about ready to, like, get, like, really... It was stapled down in a wifey type life.
Oh, yeah, to an absolute prat, might I add.
You bet. Ugh. Yeah, she'd have to get a lot of dogs and just keep herself busy. Yeah.
Believe it or not, that was a type of mentality that existed in our country, you know, until, like, you know, you had, like, modern production of, like, TV, you know, in movies like in the 50s, people acted like that, you know, where everybody ate a banana with a fucking fork and knife. Okay. Ew. What is wrong with you? You have hands. Use your hands.
Eating a banana with a fork and knife.
It's dumb. It's dumb. I'm sorry. It's so fucking dumb. Like, etiquette. You know, you have to have a proper etiquette. I'm like,
It's nice to have money and nice to have food, but at that point, I might actually rather, rather not be that wealthy, because it sounds like a pain in the ass.
All these rules. It's not sound fun at all. Yeah, like, think about, like, the rules and regulations, you know, and this you can say, you can't say that, you can't do that, you can't...
I mean, like, as a woman, it's like, I feel like they get pushed into getting married, you know, and it's like, maybe if you're poor, nobody cares if you get married or not.
Damn.
Might actually be kind of nice. Like, it sucks. It's like, you're poor, you might want to get married, but, like, at least you didn't have to marry somebody you didn't want to.
True. You know, you get to be able to live out life that you've always wanted to. It's kind of funny because talking about this, like, one person in particular that always comes into mind is, like, Lucille Ball. You know, a lot of people think that, like, Desi Arnaz was the whole, like, I love Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was really Lucy. She ran Desi Lu Productions. Like, she was the one that, like, got the shit, like, fucking done. And, like, think about somebody like her. She came from B-movies, which are, like, our equivalent today of trash movies that are made by woke people, primarily and extreme leftists, equivalent to today. But she went from that and created something just so fucking incredible out of it. Like, she had her own company. She was able to, like, do what she wanted to do, you know? No one would have let her fucking kiss a dark-skinned man in 1952 on television. She said, fuck it, I'm gonna do it.
I think it depends on how desperate people are for entertainment, what it is that you're willing to provide. I don't know too much about that, but I feel like it must have been a hard predicament. It's always still a hard predicament for both genders, just people in general.
That's why I had such a problem with the Jack and Rose characters, you know? It wasn't trying to, like, copy or emulate anything of that time. It was just a love story thrown into a Titanic story. That's kind of how it feels.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I never thought about it. I know at around that same time they made a Pearl Harbor movie, maybe like a few years later. And in the Pearl Harbor movie, it was seriously just like Titanic, where there's a story about Pearl Harbor, but the whole movie's just really about, like, these two people and how they have, like, a crush for each other. But there's also kind of, like, a weird love triangle thing that happens, too. But it was, like, the same thing where it's, like, you take, like, a really, really big event, but then in the story you just have two people, and it's only just about those two people. And I remember, like, as a kid, I didn't give a fuck. Like, I was like, who cares? But then I remember all the adults were like, oh, like, that's so shitty to, like, you know, like, you have a story, something substantial, and then all you end up doing is just focusing on the romance of it.
Yeah. And look, like, I'm the type of person that I don't expect, like, movies and TV show to be anything like real life. But we all know that James Cameron could have taken a very different approach. We know why he chose that approach, because he's asphyxiated with, this is going to sound weird, but he has, like, this asphyxiation with, like, romance to the point he likes to add violence and drama to it. Kind of how the same way that Quentin Tarantino has, like, this sexual fetish for certain body parts. You can see that in certain of, like, you know, these directors and producers when they make these films. So, like, even though it's a Titanic, you know, like, you were talking about, like, a big story, you know, like Pearl Harbor and Titanic. But in actuality, what you're watching is James Cameron's interpretation of what he thought Titanic was. Wow, this went really deep. This is really good fucking weed, by the way.
Well, shout out to Sunburn. Like, okay, so think about, what if you just made a story, no Titanic, just Rose, her shitty fiance, and Jack, but they're all just, like, in New York, in a, you know, one street corner. They just all happen to live. He lives in a shitty area. She lives, you know, up on the 50th floor or some bullshit. They all live in the same exact place. There's no ship. Okay. It's just like a town.
We're all about the artist. That is the whole purpose of this podcast, period. And you have a really valuable tool. You can share this with artists, people that are creative, someone that can enjoy this podcast and really enjoy the experience of Lost in the Groove. So with that, let's jump back to today's episode, shall we?
She falls in love with a poor dude, you know, and then like the other guy, her fiance, is like still there. They're all still there. This story can't take place really unless you're on the boat. Honestly, the story could take place, but it's just goddamn boring. Like, it's like, okay, woman was supposed to marry one guy, doesn't want to take the path of the rich woman, wants to just throw away money for love and excitement, wants to go after this other guy. It's a very, like, basic thing that women go through, like, honestly.
Yeah, and I think it has it down been, to its core.
I think that, like, a lot of people in general have, like, regardless of male or female, have that thing where it's like, this is the person that my parents want me to marry. I've been on this path so long, I haven't even really been alert enough in life to decide if this is what I want. I think it's a little, you know, like people choose their college degrees before they kind of like awake as a person. And then they're like, oh shit, like, is this really what I want? Like, it's very important to let people make their decisions in those early 14, 15, 16 years, you know, of their life. Because otherwise, if you kind of push them and push them, push them, they're going to end up in a space around the age of like 19 where they're very lost because they didn't choose what got them to 19. And so it's, I think sometimes parents are really, really overbearing. Like her parents in the Rose and Jack story were very like, you know, they're on top of her and told her what to do the whole time. And they don't show her fiance's parents, but I assume they were the same way. What do you see about Jack's parents?
There is none.
Right? He doesn't have a parent that's like on top of him, forcing him in a direction. He is just a free bird. He can paint these girls. He can gamble and jump on he's free. And he's always made his decisions about what he wants to do. And there is a freedom there. So it's great how much structure a parent can give, but it's definitely important to find that fine line between, you know, how much am I helping and how much help is it when I don't overhelp? It's extremely helpful to not overhelp because they need to grow.
It's also very apparent when, you know, when you're in a situation primarily where things are constantly difficult and you grow out of a very stressful environment. It is true. A lot of those times people like that will develop severe health conditions. However, there are people that are able to push out of it, meaning as they get older and start becoming more and more closer to adulthood and start figuring out who they are as a person, they're really able to build that solid foundation. The thing is with like the Rose and Jack story is you never really see where Jack goes because he kind of dies, you know, he never really makes it. So there's never like that parallel of where you see Rose after the tragedy, you know, and like through the pictures, I guess you can kind of tell that she kind of explored and did a lot of different things. But there's that loss aspect of like, what if Jack didn't die, you know, and if he survived, like what could have his life been like? To be very honest, he probably would have died of syphilis a few years later in a cornfield in the middle of Iowa.
He'd get himself into some more weird shit that would get him killed. Like,
100%. 100%.
Hi.
Yeah, my mom is here.
Hi, mama. Hi. Hi, mama.
But anyway, I mean, I feel like that is honestly like, I know we're talking specifically about this story in particular, but when you take this story and, like you said, you know, and you apply it across the charts, it's really basic at its core. However, you know, you take a story like West Side Story, you know, where you kind of have that romance between those two characters and then the one of them dies. It takes a whole different approach, but the premise is kind of similar to where one survive and one doesn't.
I think that, you know, Rose is like trying to accomplish this like freedom, but what she doesn't realize is that if Jack had lived, she would have just ironed herself back into being locked down, but with him.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I don't know if he'd have settled down with her in the long run anyways, because he's so all over the place.
Yeah. And again, it's just so interesting on how like the development of these characters are all on the basis of like what ifs, because what you're seeing is like the result of what happens afterwards, you know, from start to finish. And it's almost baffling in a sense, because it's just, you kind of crave more structure to it. You know, you sometimes crave a little bit more. For me personally, I do. I don't know.
Yeah, it is weird how, like, the Titanic movie doesn't really seem that long. And it's, like, 3 hours long. Like, it's mm-hmm. like, I don't really know how they do that. But, like, I guess there's just enough to look at. But, no, it's an amazing movie. You know, as much as people want to knock the fact that, like, it's really just a Jack and Rose story, it was really good. So it's like, what if it wasn't a Jack and Rose story? Like, I'd hate to take the chance of it, like, not being as good as it was. Like, I liked it better when it first came out than I do now, you know? And when it first came out, it was just mind-blowing. So magical. And I had no idea. I mean, it looked real.
See, when you take,
like, it was literally like time traveling. It was like looking at what it really truly was, you know? And when you're a kid, it's like,
it's breathtaking. I mean, to kind of experience what the grand staircase might have been, you know, down to the lower decks. You know, and again, like, it's just, we're dealing with something that happened so long ago. Even now, I mean,
I think that's what's great about, like, you know, when they put a movie in a place where you can fantasize about, they don't really have to get all the details right, because it's somewhere you've never been either. And so it really frees the mind to be imaginative and really escape into the place that the story is taking place.
Keep in mind also that when you take the story, for example, like with Titanic, a lot of the information that we have pertaining to floorboards, layouts, and planning of how things looked is based on its sister ship, which was Olympic, that actually pretty much mimicked and was identical to the Titanic. But nobody remembers that ship because nobody cares. That one didn't sink. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when, you know what's interesting? We were talking about this on the other episode. Remember, we were talking about, you know, James Cameron did Alien, obviously. And in that one, you're kind of dealing with a very similar predicament. You're dealing with a bunch of low-class miners that are on the spacecraft and that are part of a corporation that they don't know that this corporation has completely cut off from them and has nothing to do with them anymore.
Because it normalizes something that would have been so special. You know, like, you think, like, oh my God, someone's, you know, space traveling. They must have worked for this their whole life. And it's like, well, yeah, kind of, but they're also just working.
Yeah.
Like, it's a normal job. It's like, whatever. But we've talked about how a lot of people like Alien 2, but I like Alien 1 because
one of my favorite James Cameron. I think that's like one of his best.
The very first one.
Yeah, it has to be one of his best work.
I told you the ending when she is running from the alien, the ending of number one, where she's literally running through the hallways, like panting. It is, I have never felt that way in a movie, and it's
terrifying.
I know what it feels like to be that scared, like not that scared where there's like an alien chasing you, but I know what it's like to be chased in that kind of way. And like the way that they were able to capture that same panic feeling and make it carry on for a period of time, like, was just nuts. Like, it's like, okay, jump scares, it's the jump, but they don't stay in the jump and maintain the jump for like a long period of time. These people in Alien 1, when they made that movie, they were able to scare the fuck out of you and then just stay in it, you know? And she just keeps running through that hallway and it just keeps being terrifying. As much as it was the initial moment that she started running, it's like, it takes my breath away. That movie is terrifying. Like, there's something terrifying about space because you're isolated. You know, I mean, at least for me, I get really claustrophobic.
I mean, very similar to like being on a ship in the middle of the ocean. No land anywhere in
sight. Yeah, Earth is, I mean, ocean is one thing, but Earth is, which I understand, the ocean is on the Earth, but like, Earth is comforting to human beings. Like, subconsciously, mentally, we like Earth. And I know people talk about like, oh, I want to be on Mars. I want to go to Mars. Like, you know, like whatever.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
You might.
You really don't want to go on Mars.
It might sound kind of exciting, or, you know, or like maybe you like to be contrary, or maybe you want to do something that other people haven't done or whatever. But like, I do believe that subconsciously and like in our just chemical makeup, we thrive in Earth's environment. Like, it's made for our bodies. We match it with our makeup. Like, we have the same amount of salt, like percentage wise, in our body as the Earth does. So like, we're exactly the same. So we have the same amount of water in our bodies as the Earth does. Like, you know, it's very interesting. Like, we are Earth. We are.
In a way, it's kind of weird because we do recycle organically. Like, we don't even realize, like, we recycle our, like, we as people,
as human beings. Yeah. It's gross, but it's like, we're organic. Like, did you not notice? Like,
we do, like, our part of, like, they, you know, the whole recycle. It's like, doesn't pretty much everything recycles, you know? It's kind of just like the way that the world works.
Well, and I think, like, you know, if you want to tie it back to Titanic, you're talking about, like, you know, when you're out in the middle of the ocean away from, like, you know, it's like, oh, well, we were just talking about that. It's like, the point is that it's extremely unhuman. And a lot of what was going on with Titanic is kind of unhuman.
Yeah.
You know, like, you think about it. And all the people acting so richy and, like, hoarding all this money and, like, carrying all their luggage and traveling all their diamonds and, like, all this shit. Like, it's a bit much. Like, I don't wish anything on anyone, you know, but, like, I just feel like when you get yourself into where you're not doing things for survival anymore, you're just doing things for entertainment, for joy, for pleasure, you might lose track of survival. You might get on a big ass ship that's really not safe anymore and doesn't have anything to do with your survival anymore. Like, you're not thinking about how do I survive as a human being anymore, because, like, you assume, like, oh, I'm fine. I have all this money. I have all these things. I have all these diamonds. And it's like all these people who have no trouble at all surviving on this ship put themselves into a situation that's extremely unhuman and really hard for them to survive out there. Yeah. Like, it's, human beings are just baffling. Like,
and it's crazy because when you take a ship like the Titanic, do you know why the watertight compartments didn't operate correctly? It's because they didn't seal them. Okay.
They're like trying to cut corners or whatever.
Yeah, because they didn't want to have like a latch door in between one of the decks. Because then they would have had to have like bulkheads in one of the decks, and they would have to have like a door that you would have to twist and turn. Like, ugh, that's too much. And, you know, we want to fast forward even further. Think about seatbelts, okay? For the longest of time, people were like, oh, seatbelts are stupid.
Yeah.
They're dumb.
Too
and
much.
It's like, people in the 1950s that were in car accidents, their fatality rate was closer to 90% than it is today. You got into any type of car accident, even 35 miles an hour, like in 1956, 1957, your chances of surviving was minimum. Most people, you heard car accident, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's just like if you got in a car accident, it's it like meant that you died.
You died. Like that's how it was. Until like people actually started realizing, oh my God, we should like get seatbelts in cars. We should maybe like figure out like airbags or something.
I'm bad at wearing my seatbelt. I've told you this before, right? It's like a big like confession of mine. It's not my fault. I grew up in rural Iowa.
No damn seatbelt.
No, it's just people drive around in the country like and they don't really like wear seatbelts. It's like different. But I mean you should, you know, like no doubt. I wonder if I've ever seen a car that was like made without a seatbelt. I like think about it. You know, like you think back to like a Twilight and you know her like big like orange truck. Like it seems like a truck that would have like no seatbelt in it. Like it's just not even there, you know? Like, but I guess you could always put one in or something like that. But remember they used to have the ones where it didn't go across your chest. It would just go across your waist.
Yeah,
and
it was a side belt.
It wasn't just because you were in the center.
No, and it's really funny because when you see those cars, like especially like American cars, it kind of looks like one of those buckles. You know, like you gotta like click it in. You know, it's similar to like when you're flying in an airplane. But when you strap this thing into your lap, you just think to yourself, oh my God. If I get rear-ended, T-boned, or anything, my spine is coming out of my body. Because you have no support up here at all. It's just all down there.
Yeah, no. It's not good. But
it's not good at all.
I know, though, also, it's probably not enough to, like, really save anybody's life. But, like, I had heard that, like, cars themselves were a little bit more like durable, so like it wasn't as easy to like just like crush a side door as it is now. You know, it's like,
well, yeah, because they're made out of solid metal. But the problem you'd run into is people would get trapped in vehicles because even though the doors wouldn't like fully collapse, the latches and the locks inside of the door hinges would snap inwards. And the door would be totally, like, locked in. The only way they would be able to get somebody out would be, like, it was terrible.
You know, with my claustrophobia, I heard a story about how, like, they couldn't get someone out of the car because the seatbelt had, like, locked. And
oh, no.
I was like, it, like, made me really freaked out to think that, like, my seatbelt could be, like, trapping me into my, like, crushed car. And I don't know. I just, I'll put the damn seatbelt on. I got a ticket for not wearing my seatbelt one time while I was delivering food for people. And I was just like, it's fucking stupid. Like, I'm in and out of the car, like, every 10 feet, basically. And it's just like, it's crazy.
I know.
The cop just, like, me and him just, like, made eye contact with each other. And he was like, she doesn't have her seatbelt on. And I was like, God damn it. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I don't know what happened. The city of LA sent me a letter yesterday asking me if I still live in LA.
They're trying to get money from people. I don't know if you heard this. Like, California right now is trying to make bank. They've been trying to, like, collect taxes from people that have been out of California, like, the past 5 years. They're trying to get taxes from people that haven't been in there in 5 years.
I'm worried about it. Yeah. I was just like, what the fuck? You know, I'm like, you guys owe me money. Like, I know you do. Like, you guys owe me a lot of money.
Like, a serious chunk of change, you know?
Yeah. Adult shit. No, thank you. Yeah. It is my day off work. I am hanging out with my friend on American Groove.
Talking about Titanic?
There's a lot of Titanic talk.
Oh my God, a lot.
I was going to tell David that I went and I saw a Prince cover band.
We had a band by us that did a cover of a Prince song the day right after you went to your concert, which was so funny.
Yeah, I know. I sent you a picture. Well, I sent you a video of them doing Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
He got the whole crowd singing.
I don't know the rest of it. Oh my God, it's so beautiful.
He got the whole crowd singing and it was like so strong. Like, people are like putting their hands up like they're in church. Like, it was like Purple Rain is, it's an anthem. It's really, really, really good. Prince. I had a great time. It was just nice to like get out. That person, that Prince impersonator is, he's really good.
Can he do all the Prince's? Yeah. Like the little, yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot of really. And it was funny because like there'd be a lot of them when we knew they were coming, you know, and he'd like do them like right on cue.
He did
all the little, there's one song specifically, I don't know the name of it, where he just like throws like a little like fit at the beginning, like, he did all these like noises. He was great. He's like crawling on the speakers.
Wow.
And like crawling on the floor. And I told you that.
It's so dirty.
The back of his pants were completely see-through. His first pants were like lace back, like all just like completely see-through. He's not my type. Like, you know, I think Prince is hot, but Prince is hot. Okay.
Yeah.
But this, like, hands Prince down. Impersonator.
Even in his older years, he was still hot. Like, he could.
Prince is hot. I'll give him that. But like, I'm not like into the Prince impersonator in that kind of way. But I found it really entertaining when he would like do the like sexy Prince things. Like, it was just really funny. Like, I wasn't as much like, oh my God, take your coat. Like, it was like, you know, but it was really, really good. It was insane. It was so much fun. And they did all the songs that, well, they didn't sing Jungle Love, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's not very common. You know, no. Like there's, you know, there's like some songs.
But that's not what I should say, because they sang Nikki, which is one of my favorites.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Damn. And they turned the lights red and like made it all like sexy and naughty.
Oh my God.
It was really good. I had such a great time. It was my first time going out in Des Moines, like in that type of way. Like,
I gave
going
you shit,
out.
By the way, because you kept on telling me like there's nothing to do in Iowa. Iowa's so boring. And I was like, girl, here's your proof. Here's your
It was good. There were so many people out. It was crazy.
Like, I can imagine if like there's nothing to do in Iowa generally throughout the year, and then just this Prince cover band is around, like, I'm sure like everybody's going.
The place was packed. It was completely sold out.
Completely
sold out. Every single ticket sold. Tickets were $25 a piece, which, like, that's incredible. Like, I haven't gotten to do something like that for $25. Like, that's what's up, man. Like, $25 is not cheap.
No, like, it's not. You know,
but it's something that people can pull off. Like, reasonably. Basic people can say, you know, like, oh.
Hey, it's Dave, and I quickly just wanted to jump in and say, if you've been enjoying the podcast, enjoying this episode, if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that'll be so greatly appreciated. Because here's the thing, someone might read that review and make the choice if they want to listen to the podcast. You get to help grow this podcast with us. How fucking cool is that? Let's jump back to today's episode.
I could go out. Like, it's not going to be cheap, but I could go. As compared to, like, $299 for like a ticket in the nosebleed for like a band that's so-so when you're in LA.
And do you know,
and you have to drive an hour away and deal with their parking.
Do you know why those tickets are so bloody expensive? It's because when they get released, these ticket dealers, they'll buy out all of the tickets and then they'll resell them on Ticketmaster and just rack up the price. And it's like,
shit's been bad.
It's like
with tickets.
It's like, fix it, man. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you think it's right for somebody to pay eight? Do you know how much there was? I think it was Aerosmith that came out to Fort Lauderdale. They're charging $900 for a seat that was in front of a TV screen. So the back of the band. So the concert was here, and there's a TV screen in the back of them, and that's where you're paying $900 to see. Are you insane?
No, it's not okay.
It's crazy.
So being in Iowa, like, I've had a little... I the other night, I finally paid off my credit card from all of my, like, holiday extravaganza, is what I'll call it. Around Christmas time, I usually have a hard time with spending, and I finally kind of like came back from that.
It's the Christmas knickknacks. It's always sitting the Christmas knickknacks.
The decor, it's the presents for others, yes. It's the cookies, it's, you know, peppermint mochas from, and it just, yes, it's the cannolis, it's everything. The cannolis.
Cannoli.
The cannolis. There are these cannolis in Sarasota, Florida, and in Venice, Florida. There's these two brothers that make the cannolis.
With eggnog? Is that the one with the eggnog?
No, these, they use a mascarpone, and they use the ricotta.
Oh, they... traditional cannolis. Okay. Yeah.
They don't always have the mascarpone, but it is really good. But I just feel like Florida extravaganza, I finally paid it off. Then I was sitting there with a paid off credit card, which is always like, you're like...
It doesn't last very long.
No, like you're like, okay, like I've done it. But then you're like, well, it just means that, you know, it's paid off. There's more room on it again. And I was like looking at concert tickets. I found Modest Mouse is coming to Des Moines. And I was like, with the Pixies. And I was like, oh, I'm like.
The Pixies?
Yes.
Like the Pixies?
With Modest Mouse together in Waukee, Iowa.
So if people are curious, like, the Pixies was like, you know, they were the shit back in the late 80s. They were huge, you know? Like, they were the band that inspired other bands.
Yes, they are the band that inspired Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain, that was his favorite band. So, yeah, so it'll be really interesting. So I bought tickets for that.
Oh, you're going to go see the Pixies?
I am.
This is so epic.
But I got... like a code, like an artist code, which I've noticed like all these like ticket sites, they sell out all the decent price tickets by the time any of the regular tickets are available. All the good tickets up front or anything like that are like gone because like they're okay. For instance, I also found there's this other band that I love called Vampire Weekend. And they're going to come to Iowa for a music festival called Hinderland. And it's in like, I don't know what part of Iowa, but it's like out in a big ass field. Like okay. You would imagine like concerts are in Iowa. And then I also told you I got tickets to go see Cake, which is like a really good 90s band. And so I was just trying to like make sure that I'd have some music over the summer. Like have something to do. But every time that I went and I bought these tickets, I noticed that there were like four times that the tickets had gone on sale before regular people even get to them. There's like a pre-sale, an artist pre-sale. On the ones that I just bought, there was like a, okay, tickets go on sale on Friday, but on Wednesday, if you have this certain type of credit card, they'll give you a code and you have access to getting tickets before other people. So people are like signing up for this credit card just to get tickets ahead of time from these other people. So what I did is I Googled all over the place. I got this artist code and I got tickets before everyone else. So I got my tickets for $90 each, okay? which is like not cheap, but they're amazing seats. Now when I look at them, over $240 for like tickets that are kind of around where mine are. So it's like, how are you supposed to get these like codes and pre-sales? And like, I don't know. It's just become like this weird game. And it's all shit to do with like on your phone. Like people used to have to go up to the ticket counter. You know, I guess people used to wait on hold for a long time in the 90s too, trying to get tickets from Ticketmaster and shit like that.
We have Hard Rock Seminole in Hollywood here in Florida. And it's very interesting for, I believe with some of the shows, the seating is based on when you arrive.
Whoa.
So you pay for your administration and it's like, well, show up too late, maybe in the back of the room.
Well, that's how like general admission usually is like, you know, like first come, first serve as far as like who's going to be up in the front. I wanted to get tickets for Modest Mouse, but then everything else, I just got general admission and didn't really care too much about being in the front. I just kind of want to like be there and like hear the music and stuff like that.
It's really incredible when you're able to be there in front of a live band. And there's thousands of people surrounded you, you know, and you're like, ah, and they're like, ah, you know, and you're like, yeah, and you hear, dan, 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 you know, like fireworks come out of the stage, you know, and like a flame, and I'm doing terrible special effects, but it's just, it's crazy. It's really crazy. Like, if you can think of one thing you can do at least once in your life, is go to just a live concert. At least once.
I like light shows. Yeah. I like live music. I like getting loud. I like dancing around. I think all the concerts that I'm going to are all kind of like different from one another.
Different genres, you know?
Like yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to like have a partner to like go with, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like go out together. I spaced out all the concerts so that they're all kind of like a month apart, which is like really cute. I don't know. I mean, planning my summer is kind of what I've been doing like during these like cold winter months. I don't think people in Florida or California would kind of like see that coming. But like for me, I have been planning my summer a lot. I don't know. The other thing, I learned how to make origami. I've been trying to keep myself, like, happy with, like, not having as many outdoor activities. And so I bought, like, a little book that talks – it, like, shows little pictures and steps how to make origami. So mm-hmm. I learned how to make, like, three different things. Have you ever done it before?
Yeah, or – I have to say, like, origami is very relaxing. You know,
yeah, it was really cool. Well, it's kind of frustrating at times, too. Like, you're like, what the fuck?
Well, because you're, like, working with paper that, yes, you can, like, fragile, bend it yeah. and shape it. But it's, like, very weird. Like, it sometimes will move in a direction that you don't want it to or want to line correctly or, like, gets too wrinkled or it's not a perfectly straight line, you know? It's, like, very... It's like meticulous meditation.
It was meditative. It was extremely rewarding once I actually knew how to make the crane. I feel like it was also really funny because I smoked so much. Like we like smoked those two pre-rolls and then like smoked like more. And I was like, I'm too high to make origami. And I was like, maybe that's the perfect time. It's like when you're too high to do it.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no expectations. Just like go in there. Just try to like fold some crap. I made like a little – there was like a whole bunch of other origamis that you can make that aren't just the crane. And I made like a little like paper envelope that like it all like tucks into itself like on top. And then you like pull the two sides and it like opens.
Okay. And we're supposed to believe that you did this while stoned.
Yes, that's what I worked on in front of the fireplace. Yeah, so it's like I'm still like enjoying the fireplace, like the heat like on my face and like it just feels like good. And then I'm like, you know, it's like if you're standing in front of the heater, it kind of like makes you sleepy. I was a weird, perfect combination of like stone, sleepy, like folding paper, meditating in front of the fire. I was like making these origamis or whatever, but like I could not complete the paper crane. Like I got the little envelope thing done, but then I was like still making a paper crane. And I was just like, you know what? I think it's time to go to sleep. But then in the morning, I tried to make the paper crane again. And like, it was not working. But then halfway through the day, I was like making paper cranes like that. Like, I was like, where's this coming from? But it was really just like trying it 3-4 different times, like in separate, like stepping away from it and like coming back to it. It made it so easy. Like, it was like crazy. And now I really, really enjoyed doing it. There are way too many folds in making a paper crane, by the way.
I know.
Like, way too many.
I know.
We were talking about what would be really funny is to get, like, a really big piece of origami paper.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, one that's, like, really big. And make, like, a paper crane that's, like, really big.
You want to make a super big paper crane?
Yeah, like, get, like, poster board and make, like, a really big paper crane.
Oh, my God. It would be like, this is our creation that we made together.
I want to find origami paper that has kind of, like, metallic in it. Like, if you've ever seen that origami paper where it has, like, gold in it, I want to look for that.
Maybe find it, like, on a craft store or maybe online. You know, there's definitely quite a few places that have that stuff kind of available.
Yeah, like Michael's, Joann's. They all have that like
crafty, artisan, homebody. Spend money that you shouldn't be spending.
How expensive can a piece of paper? I mean, I don't want to know that answer, but it's like, you know, it's just a piece of paper like that I'm trying to buy.
I know.
I don't know.
And it's interesting because, like, it's honestly, like, origami sound. See, this is a little bit Japanese. Japanese take anything that sounds boring and they make it fancy. You know, it's like origami, you know? Because if it wasn't origami, it was just, like, you know, paper folding, be like.
And they gave it a cool name and it makes it origami. Like, even cooler. Yeah, origami. I was reading about origami and, like, how it got started and stuff, and, like, these monks would make these little folds in paper and like create like little things that would go on like their shrines. And shrine isn't even the right word, but like
robes.
It would go up, you know, and it'd be like kind of, I guess, would people make like an altar? The word is altar.
So
they would
make
these little figures out of origami and put it up on the altar. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if altar is the right word, but it kind of explains. It's comparable to what they were doing. But I read about that and I thought that was really cool. So it's like, man, they were doing this like so long ago. Like, the other thing that I love about origami is that, like, I remember when we went to the Iowa State Fair, we like bought a few paper cranes. Like, there was like a girl that was like sitting there like folding them like at a little display, and she like had them for sale.
Oh, wow.
And like people were like buying them, you know, and it's like, how cool is that? That like it was just a piece of paper and all she did was fold it, and now she gets money. Like, it's like you've turned the paper into something that someone else wants and will give money to. So it's like, you know, Will it give you a lot of money? Not so much, but it's more money than you had before. It's kind of cool. I don't know. They made something out of nothing, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
It is really fascinating because, you know, you take something and from that you make something else out of it. You know, the type of thing that I've always loved about Japanese culture is not necessarily like consumption, but more focused on this beautiful process of like devotion to craft, you know, when it comes to like a soy sauce, you know, down to miso, you know, down to sushi, down to the fruits and vegetables, how they're grown. It's, you could see that even with their films. I mean, their films and productions and, I mean, even their cars for that matter.
What's interesting about Japanese people, you know, like in a lot of places, the original people who lived there were destroyed. And so their culture, you know, we talked about the Native Americans. They had ways that they did things with every single part of the animal. Those, all those things. And they had ceremonies that they did when they killed the animal, like all this stuff or whatever. And that's all gone, okay? Because we have a new group of people that came in and took over that area. It's not all gone. There's still, you know, areas of people that do it in different ways. But it's like, you know, in Japan, they never really destroyed their indigenous people. They got to it kind of continued. Now, there was, you know, war that happened that destroyed a lot of history, and a lot of different people were hurt and destroyed by it. But it's like, I feel like a lot of that knowledge is still around and still kept and still respected, because we can still kind of like look at it, as compared to like with other cultures where it was just like wiped out.
Yeah. And it's just, it's, you know, it just honestly just goes to show that all in all, in the end of the day, no matter what story or type of, you know, prediction you're trying to make of the past, you're always going to run into the same problem. You're hearing a story from one side, their version, you know? There's always two sides. You know, there's a Native Americans version, and then there's, you know, the colonist version. You know, there's always that factor that comes into play.
I mean, there's a million perspectives. You can't even get bottled into thinking that there's only two.
For sure. Well.
Podcasts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like next episode, you guys better chime in, because it's going to kick ass.
Yeah, we might get even more stoned than we are now.
And I ate cereal today.
You ate cereal?
What's your cereal of choice, David?
That's a hard one. Frosted Flakes or the cinnamon French toast, but like their little like bread little toast. Mm. You know, little, not the cinnamon squares. I don't know if there's I think it's called cinnamon sugar toast.
That sounds really good. Mm-hmm. I like the peanut butter Captain Crunch. Do they still make that?
Look at you being all bouge.
Fuck yeah, peanut butter Captain Crunch. It starts to like stick, like it's like stuck. And you like feel like all the fat like on the roof of your mouth. You're like, oh god.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Well, I hope everybody had a good stoner break. I hope your bowls were lit. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. And if you want to find out more and, you know, reach out to the podcast, you can find Carissa in American Groove Pod. And if you want to check out more of Lost in the Groove, you can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Lost in the Groove Pod. So, catch you on the next one.
Peace out.
Peace out, motherfuckers.